We begin the current daf Masechet Sukkah, daf Mem Ches. We begin four lines down from the top of the Yamid, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. We can continue on the theme of how the Perek opened up on daf Mem Beis regarding the different Zmanim of the different mitzvahs that apply to the Yamtiv of Sukkahs. So we spoke about already what the Mishnah opened up over there with Lulav Arava. Now our Mishnah continues with the next items mentioned in the first Mishnah in this Perek. The Mishnah told us that HaHawl, regarding completing to be Goymer the Howl, the Hasimcha, and to have the Simcha, which is a reference to Shalmei Simcha, bringing a carbon Shlamim, are Shmoina, that's for the 8 days of Sukkot. So the Mishnah asks Ketzad, what are the ramifications? What is the Mishnah telling us? So this Mishnah teaches us, Malamit Shechayev Ad Mahal B'Simcha, what this teaches us, that one is obligated to complete the Hal, and to have Shalmei Simcha, Ubekavad Yamtiv Ha'achrat Shechag, and the honor that it applies even to the last day of the Yamtiv Sukkot. In other words, a reference to Shmini Atzeres, Keshar Kol Yimei Shechag, like all the other days of the Yamtiv. As the Gemara will explain this, the Gemara asks, Minoha Nemili, from where do we know actually that there is a Chiv of Simcha, which includes having Shalmei Simcha to eat the meat of a carbon Shlamim, that there's an obligation of Simcha on Shmini Atzeres? And the reason is because it actually doesn't say explicitly that there is a Chiv of Simcha on Shmini Atzeres. It only talks about the 7 days of Sukkot, as the Pasuk in Devarim Tezayin says, Chag HaSukkot Taslacha, and it talks about it for 7 days. And that's where it says, V'samachta B'chagecha, that you should rejoice on the Yom Tov. But nowhere does it say anything about Shmini Atzeres having a Chiv of Simcha. So actually, so where's the halacha from a Mishnah from? So talking about, like, we learn the Braisa. It's a pasuk in Devarim, that in the parashat where it speaks about that for 7 days should be tochig. Then it says there at the end of that pasuk, it says v'yisa ach samech, that you should only be happy. Now that is l'rabbis leila yom tov achron. That's coming to include the evening of the last day of the Yom Tov Sukkot. In other words, a reference to the night of Shmini Atzeres, which means that the simcha that comes before the last day, in other words, the last night of the night of Shmini Atzeres, is adjoined to the simcha that's before it to be included in the 7 days that have simcha before it. Where that, what that means is that the person should slaughter a carbon shlam on the 7th day, so that he could eat that carbon on the night of the 8th day. Which the question is, because when it says in that pasuk v'yisa ach sameach, what's it coming to teach us? Because the pasuk already told us v'samachta b'chagecha, so we already know there's a mitzvah simcha. What does the pasuk mean when it says v'yisa ach sameach? So it's coming to include another simcha, which is the simcha of the night of the 8th day. Now Rashi explains, once we know that the night of the 8th day, which is only secondary, that is going to have a chiv of simcha, then most definitely it's kal v'chomer that the primary part, which is the daytime, for sure will have a chiv of simcha, and that's how we know that there's a chiv of simcha on the entirety of Shmini Atzeres. Now Rashi tells us that although we're coming to include over here, and we're saying it's the night of the 8th day, how about maybe the nights of every day of the Yom Tov Sukkot? And that he says we don't need a Reba for that, because when it says that you should be rejoicing for the 7 days of Sukkot, that includes even nights, as the Mashmois of the word Yamim includes nights, as the Gemara said on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph regarding Sukkah. So therefore, when we needed to include something, we needed to include the night of the last day of Yom Tov. That means the night of Shmini Atzeres, which is not included in the 7 days that we knew there's a Chiv of Simcha for. And therefore, most definitely, we're including the night to say that that's what's continuing the 7 days. What comes next is the evening of the 8th day. And as we said, that the day of Shmini Atzeres comes out from a Kal V'Chomer. If the night has, which is only the Tafel, the Iker for sure has to have Simcha. And from that we learn that a person should slaughter Karban Shlamim on Sukkot, so that the coming night, on the night of Shmini Atzeres, which he can't bring a carbon in the nighttime, should be slaughtered on the 7th day, so he could be eating it on the evening. So that's how he could have Simcha on Shmini Atzeres. And that's how we know the halacha, that the Simcha of Sukkot applies for all 8 days. Now, however, the Braisa says, Oyeine Elo Yom Tov Rishon. Maybe it's not the case. Maybe actually, this that we're coming to include is the night of the first day, when the Yom Tov starts, we start, and the halachic day starts in the evening. Maybe what the halacha is teaching us of B'Yisa Ach Sameach is that a person should slaughter Karban Shlam on Erev Yom Tov, so that he should be able to eat and have Simcha of a Karban Shlam in the evening, because you can't slaughter a Karban at nighttime. So that would be a Chiddush in Halacha, because there's a discussion regarding, do you need Zvicha B'Shas Simcha? Does the slaughtering have to be at a time when the rejoicing could be? Now, if that would be the case, you wouldn't be able to slaughter an Erev Yom Tov where the Chiv of Simcha doesn't start till the evening. But yet you can bring a carbon in the evening too. So maybe that's what is coming to teach us, not regarding the night of the last day of Yom Tov. Maybe it's the night of the first day where it's not feasible to have a carbon shlamim to be slaughtered then. That's what it's teaching us, that you should slaughter an Erev Yom Tov so that you could have it on the first evening. Now, that the Braisa says, Kishu Oimer, ach, but this that the Pasuk says, only, which is an exclusionary term. So that's chiluk that comes to differentiate and say that no, we're only including the night of the eighth, not the night of the first. Now the question is, umari is la rabbis liliyam to ba'achrin. From where do you see fit? There's an inclusion and exclusion criteria. On the one hand, we're saying another term of sameach, which comes to include, but yet ach comes to exclude. So the question is, from where did you see to include the night of the last day of Yom Tov? Ulahaytzi leli Yom Tov Rishon, and come to exclude the night of the first day of Yom Tov. So now the Gemara says, marba ni leli Yom Tov Achron. I'd rather include the night of the last day of Yom Tov, and that's what the Pasuk is obviously telling us, shesh simcha lefanav, because has already been a predecessor, in the sense of there's a precedent for being simcha before it. It's coming off the heels of simcha 7 days of the Yom Tov Sukkos. But rather, I would exclude the night of the first day of Yom Tov, where there is no simcha beforehand. You're just starting Yom Tov now. And therefore, if we had to choose, and that's what the Pasuk is teaching us, one's inclusive, one's exclusive, we would include something that's coming off the heels of simcha, which is the night of Shemini Atzeres. And that's how we know that, therefore, by default, that the day, which is the Iker, for sure will have simcha, and not the night of the first day of Yom Tov. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the first Mishnah of this parak regarding the next item that was mentioned, how many days it's done for the Yom Tov Sukkah. So we said that Sukkah Shiva, the mitzvah of Sukkah, is for 7 days. So the Mishnah asks Ketzad, how does that play out? So Gomer Milechem, when the person finished eating on the 7th day, which on the 8th day it's not the halacha, it's Shmini Atzeres, there's no halacha of sitting in the Sukkah. So Lo Yatra Sukkah, so he shouldn't yet take apart his Sukkah, in other words, he shouldn't take apart the bundles, because the entire day of the 7th day, there is an obligation to sleep and to learn, and if he has a meal to eat, that he should eat it inside the sukkah. So don't take it apart, because the entire day you might need it. But he could already take his utensils and all his bedspreads and all his linens that he used inside the sukkah, as the Gemara said in Chav Chesma Beis, that if he had beautiful kelim and or beautiful spreads, he should bring them out into the sukkah. So he could, however, he could already start bringing them into the house from the mincha time and onward, as a show of display for the last day of Yom Tov of Shemini Atzeres, where he's demonstrating that as if he's preparing for the Yom Tov, so that he has a place where to eat in the evening, he's already allowed to start taking his kelim out on the day, on the 7th day of the Yom Tov of Sukkos, as a way of, you don't want to take apart the sukkah yet because you might need to eat or do things in there, but you already start bringing in your things, and that's a sign of preparing, of having a preparation for the last day of Yom Tov. Now the Gemara asks a question that was not really stated in the Mishnah, but what's related, a related topic to this halacha of bringing stuff, kelim, in from the house on the 7th day of Sukkos. The Gemara's question is, ain lo kelim lahayrid. If let's say the person doesn't have any utensils to bring in from his sukkah into his house, Maha, what's the halacha? But before the Gemara has a chance to answer the question, the Gemara asks on the question. Ain lo kelim, he has no utensils. Eliki yishtamish, but what he was utilizing, but ma yishtamish, what exactly was he using then the whole Yom Tov Sukkos? He has no bed, he has no chair, what do you mean he has nothing to bring in? El Rav, the Gemara says, the Gemara's question was, ain lo makrim. If he has no other place to eat over there for the last day of Yom Tov, lahayrid kelim, to bring his vessels in, Mahu, what's the halacha? Let's say he has no house. He just has the sukkah. So the question is, as Rashi explains, is there's another problem over here with if someone's going to be in the sukkah on the 8th day, which is he has nowhere else to bring his stuff in. So forget about the concern about preparing or that you're able to take your things out. What could he do to prove that he's not going to be able on the Isra of Bal Taisif? Because he's going to be sitting here in this sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. Now, that's problematic because it looks like you're adding on to the mitzvah, and the mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah is only 7 days, not the 8th day. And if you sit another day, it's like you're adding on to the mitzvah, which is a prohibition in the Torah. So the question is, if he has nowhere else to put the things, what that means is he's going to end up sitting here on the 8th day too. So what does he do? He wants it to be obvious that he's not sitting there to fulfill the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Reb Chiya Bar, and the Gemara says, Ashiyam, he says, good idea. He says, Peiches Bar Arba. He says, take apart 4 tfachim of the sukkah, of the schach, and that will invalidate it. And hence, we know you're not sitting in there to fill the mitzvah because it's not a kosher sukkah. It'll be a hut. You'll have somewhere to sit there for the Shemini Atzeres, but that'll demonstrate that you're not sitting there to fill the mitzvah. Rabbi Shimon Levi, he says, Malik Basaner, you light a candle inside the sukkah, as we said on the Gemara in the Chav Tesim and Aleph, that Shraga B'sukkah Ketana, lighting a candle in the small sukkah, is Labar Mitalalta, it's supposed to be out of the sukkah. By bringing it in, you're demonstrating that you're not in the sukkah. It happens to look just like it, but it's just a hut. You're just sitting here, you have nowhere else to go. And the Gemara tells us, actually, B'loi Pligi, these two opinions are not arguing one on the other, because actually it depends where you are. Halan, this halacha was said for the people in Bavel, which means to say that in Bavel, Shemini Atzeres is very different than Shemini Atzeres is in Eretz Yisrael. Because for the people in Bavel, in the diaspora, out of Eretz Yisrael, the eighth day in halacha is a doubtful if it's really the seventh day. Because we're not kvi diyarchi, we don't know exactly when the new month actually started, because it could have been a full moon or deficient 29 days or 30 days. So that's where the opinion was given by Rabbi Shimon Levi that someone should light a candle in there. Because we couldn't use the first idea of Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi to go ahead and take apart four tefachim of the schach, because actually the people in Bavel have to sit in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres because of a doubtful, not going to make a bracha, but because out of doubt it might actually be the seventh day of sukkah, we have to eat inside over there. So you can't take it apart. So how are we going to show that we're not doing it to fulfill the mitzvah that we shouldn't be over Baal Taisiv? So somewhat of a paradoxical situation. So we go in there, and it's a sukkah. We're not doing anything wrong intrinsic to the sukkah, but we light a candle to show that we don't want to be over Baal Taisiv. V'halahu. However, regarding them, for the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, because this is Talmud Bavli, for those who are in Eretz Yisrael, where they're proficient in Kvi Diyarcha, they know exactly when the month is and what's the specific exact date, so they don't sit in the sukkah, as Shemini Atzeres. So they, if this person has nowhere else to go, and he's just going to visiting somewhere, and he just put up a sukkah, he didn't consider Shemini Atzeres, so he'll stay there, but he takes apart four tefachim, and therefore it's obvious he's not sitting there to fulfill the mitzvah, because it's not a kosher sukkah. Now, the Gemara asks on Rabbi Shimon Levi, which, as we said, that's for the people in Bavel. So, ha-tenech sukkah ketana, that's a great idea to light a candle if it's a small sukkah. Well, however, sukkah gedayla, Michael, remember, what are you going to say about a large sukkah? And that is, as the Gemara over there had said, that regarding lighting a candle in the sukkah, some said that you could do it in the sukkah, and some said it has to be out, and the Gemara there explained they're not really arguing. A small sukkah, it's not appropriate to have a candle inside. A large sukkah, it's no problem. So, therefore, that idea to show that it's not what you're not doing what's the halachas of sukkah would only be with a small sukkah, but a large sukkah for those in Bavel, which they can't take apart the sukkah and lighting a candle won't show anything. So what do you do there? So that the Gemara explains the ma'ayil b'mani michla for a large sukkah out of Eretz Yisrael. What you do is you bring in the utensils that are used for eating. Like Rabbi said, the mani michla b'mitalalt. It's not appropriate to have the utensils that food are made in inside the sukkah. Mani mishti b'mitalalt, however, the utensils for drinking are allowed in the sukkah. So if someone brings in the pot that the food was made in, which is not appropriate to have in the sukkah, again, that's showing that we don't want to be over a Baal Taisiv, so though we're going to be in the sukkah, and therefore because it's a suffix shvi, but we're still showing that we don't want to be over a Baal Taisiv. Now again, the next Mishnah continues again from the first Mishnah in the Perek, which is said, Nisach HaMayim. It spoke about that the libations of the water, which are done with the Tamat Shal Shachar, all 7 days of the Yom Tov Sukkot. Now actually, that happens to be a machlikus that the Mishnah will quote regarding that Rabbi Huda says it was for not 7 days, but rather for 8 days. However, that process is Ketzad. How exactly was the Nisach HaMayim done? So the Mishnah tells us, Tzleiches Shel Zav, they had a pitcher made out of gold, Machzekesh Leish Lugum, that contained 3 lugum, which that's because that's the least amount. Why did we pick 3 lugum? That's the lowest amount that generally are done with the Nesachim, which throughout the year, every carbon has wine libations. And the smallest amount of libations that we know is what's called the Revius Hahin for the Keves, for the lamb. And the Revius Hahin is 3 lugum, so that's the smallest amount. That's what we use for Nisach HaMayim too. Hayimemalim in the Shiluach. So that was filled up from the Shuluach, which was a spring that was near Yerushalayim. So once they filled up the water, so they came to one of the gates of the Azar, of the courtyard in the Beis HaMikdash, which it was called Shar HaMayim, because actually of this event, when they would bring in this Tzleiches Shel Mayim for the Nisach HaMayim on the Yom Tov Sukkos. So once they got there, Toku V'ari V'taku, so they'd blow a Tekiah blast, then the Truah blast, and then the Tekiah blast is one long blast, and Truah is a small little blast. And the reason why they did this was because of rejoicing, as the Gemara will explain, the Pasuk in Yeshayahu Yud Beis, U'sha'avta mayim b'sasin, you should draw water with rejoicing. So this was a display of rejoicing by blowing the Shaifa. Now, all about Kevish, so then the one who had the pitcher of water, he would go up the ramp, which was on the southern part of the Mizbeach, Ufana l'smayla, and he would turn to his left. And that's because the nesachim, the libations, were always done on the corner of the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. So that means when if the person turns to his left, it's going to be the first corner that he reaches, as the Gemara in Zvachim, the Samach Gimel Amar Aleph explains. Now, Shnei Safalim Shal Kesef Hashem, there were two baskets, two receptacles of silver that were there. Behudaim, he argues, he says, actually, Shal Sid Hayu, they were made out of lime. Ela Shahayu Mushcharin Pineyim Nehayayin, it's just that their surface got blackened because of the mixture with the chemicals of the wine and the lime, so it looked like silver, because the lime got darkened from the wine that was poured there. And the Mishnah continues describing these receptacles. When the coven and these safalim, they had holes in them. As the Mishnah continues, Amud Beis, kimin shnei choit mendakin, like two thin nostrils. What that means is that every basket had one nose, and every nose had one nostril, one hole in the nose. Now the kohen would pour the libations into the safalim, and then these nesachim, these libations, would then drip out and pour down through the nostril, so to speak, on top of the mizbeach. Now, in the Mizbeach itself, there was a hole that the water and the wine would go down to what was called the Shisin of the Mizbeach, which were very deep holes that went all the way down. Now, the Mishnah explained to us that Echad, one of these holes was Me'uva, was very thick, and that was the one that was used for wine. The Echadak, one of them was thin, that was the one that was used for water. And the reason why one was thick, one was thin, was Kadesh Yushneim Kol Mevasacha, so that both of them should finish dripping out of their baskets at the same time, as the Gemara will explain, because water is quicker, is a thinner liquid, and therefore it spills out quicker, and therefore they had to make the hole thinner and smaller so that it doesn't go out faster than the wine that's coming out. Now these baskets, these receptacles were one next to each other by the corner of the Mizbeach, one closer in than the other. They were right next to each other, and one was closer to the western side, and one was closer towards the eastern side. Now the Mishnah tells us that Ma'arovei Shalmayim, the one closest to the Beis Hamikdash, to the structure, the Heichal, was the one of water. Mizrach HaShayan, the one closer to the Kohen that's coming from the Kevesh, on the eastern side was the one of wine. Now, although we said that one was for wine, one was for water, the Mishnah does tell us that Irish Shalmayim Lotech Shayin, if one poured in the water into the one that was designated for the wine, or Shalyan Lotech Shalmayim, or wine into the one that was designated for water, Yatza, he has still fulfilled his Chiyav of doing the Nesachim. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Amir, he actually argues regarding the exact measurements and for the duration of this of the Nisach HaMayim. He says, "Beloig ha'yimenasech kol shmein." He says that they poured a loig for all 8 days. Now, he argues on 2 points on the Tanna Kamma. One regarding that the Tanna Kamma says that it was shloich loigin, and another one that the Tanna Kamma says it was for 7 days. Rabbi Yehuda says it was actually just one loig, and it was done for 8 days, even on Shemini Atzeres. The Mishnah continues, and they would tell the one who was pouring the libations, pick up your hand. In other words, we want to be able to see what you're doing when you're pouring the water into the basket, into the safel, which obviously is not a basket that had holes, but it was some type of receptacle that had just a small little hole that this chaitim. Now, the reason why they did this was because it's the tzedukim, who didn't believe in anything that they didn't see in the Torah Shebiksav, and therefore, since it's not written explicitly regarding Nisach HaMayim in the Torah, so they didn't agree to it, and therefore shepam achad nosach. One time there was a tzeduki that nosach echad was one tzeduki that poured the water al gabi raglav on his feet, because he was this is not real. The rabbis made this up, so he was just pouring it, and it dripped on his foot instead of going into the safal. But regamu kol am besrogin, and everybody, the entire nation that was there, they pelted him with their sroegim in a display of disgust and upset with him that he did such a thing. And therefore they would tell him to pick up his hand so that they could see what he's doing. Mishnah continues, Kemaseya b'chayil, the way it was done during the weekday, kach maseya b'shabbos, it was the same process, same procedure on Shabbos. Ella, the one difference was shayim emali me'erev Shabbos. They would fill up the water that they would use from before Shabbos in a chavish shel zav she'ein mekudeshes, in a barrel made out of gold that wasn't yet sanctified. Now, as Rashi explains, what that actually means in technical terms was it wasn't yet mechunech, it wasn't yet inaugurated, it was never used for the avodas hamizbeach, because that is actually what gives it a kedusha, a sanctity of a kli sharis, of a utensil used in the Beis HaMikdash when it's used the first time. As the Gemara in Yuma Daf Yud Beis and Basics tells us that all the vessels that Moshe Rabbeinu made, the meshicha, the anointing of it, was what made it holy. But from there on, they didn't do that anymore. It was what's called avaydas mechan chasson. The using it in the service is what actually was mechanachit, was what inaugurated as a kli kaidish. And therefore, they wouldn't do that. Now, the Gemara will explain why they have to use a utensil that wasn't Mekudesh, but that's what the Mishnah is telling us. They didn't want to use a Kli Sharis. And they would do this on Erev Shabbos, Minas Shiluach, from the spring that they always went to. Umanicha Balishka, and then they would pour it, and they would store it in the chamber through Friday night until it came Shabbos morning, and then they would do this service. Now, Nishpuchev, let's say the water by mistake spilled out, or Niskalso, or got uncovered, which the Mishnah will shortly explain what's the problem if it was uncovered. Hayimimalim and Akir. Then they would fill up the water that they would be using for the Nisach HaMayim from the Kir, which that was the water that they had in the Kir, which was there in the Azara. Now, the water to the Kir, although it was anointed, and it was sanctified with the status of a Kli Sharis, and therefore the water that's inside is Kaddish, that doesn't have the problem, which we're going to describe in the Gemara, why we didn't want to sanctify in the first place that vessel that we used to fill up the water on Erev Shabbos, because then the water would be pusle with Lina, because it's being left overnight. And the Rashi explains that doesn't apply to the Kir, because as the Gemara in Yuma, Dav Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph explains that they would immerse the Kir, they would submerge it underground in a pit, which then it would connect with the waters on the ground, as it says that one of the people were praised that they made a Mukhni Likir, some type of a wheel that would have it lower down, and therefore it was attached to water on the ground, so it didn't become invalidated with the Psul of Lina. Now, the Mishnah now tells us, so we understand if the water gets spilled out, why they would have to use the waters of the Kir, and they couldn't go to the Shiluach because it's Shabbos. However, when it was uncovered, the reason why they would use the water from the Kir, and they wouldn't just pour the libations from the water that was uncovered, is because Shahayayin v'hamayim mugulin, wine or water that was left uncovered, are pesul l'gav mizbeach. They're invalid for the mizbeach. And the reason is, as Rashi explains, because we're concerned, as all concerned of drinking, let's say what's called yayin mugulin, is because they were concerned that a snake may be drank from those waters. Now we have the poison from the snake that's mixed into this water. It comes out that the complete sheer of water is not being poured on the mizbeach because you have some of the poison that's mixing in the measurement. And we have to have exactly the measurement that's supposed to be poured. And therefore, when it's left uncovered, and then we have a concern that maybe this poison, and therefore we don't have a complete sheer because some of the poison is what's completing the sheer. And therefore we can't use that, so if it spilled out or if it got uncovered and makes it invalid, then we go ahead and use the water from the Kiyah. Now the Gemara asks on one of the items that we mentioned in the Mishnah in this process regarding that they would do the Tekiyah and the true Tekiyah, but not immediately. From where do we know this, that they would do a Tekiyah, a true and Tekiyah when they would be drawing the water for the Nisach HaMayim, for the pouring of the water on the Mizbeach? So Amar Avinu Ravina says, Domar Kra, as it says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, U'sha'aftim mayim besasin begaymer, that and you'll draw water with rejoicing, as the pasuk there concludes, Mimayin HaYeshua, from the wellsprings of salvation. That's a reference when they would be drawing the water from the Shiluach, they would be rejoicing, and that's why they did the Tekiyah, true Tekiyah, as a way of celebration. And the Gemara brings interesting incident, a story with Hanutrei Mini. There were these two heretics, these two kaifrim, which comes in relation to the pasuk we just mentioned. Chachmei Sassen, the Chachmei Simcha, one of their names was Sassen, and one of their names was Simcha. So Amalei Sassen LeSimcha, so Sassen said to Simcha, I'm not different enough, you know what, I'm better than you. The Siv, I'll show you, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, Sassen v'Simcha yasigu v'gaymer, that Sassen will get there before Simcha, you see, I'm better than you. So Amalei Simcha LeSassen, Simcha said to Sassen, wait a second, I'm not different enough, I'm better than you. The Siv says a pasuk in Esther, Simcha v'Sassen LeYehudim, says that there is Simcha and Sassen for the Jewish people. You see that Simcha comes before Sassen. So Amalei Sassen LeSimcha, so Sassen responded to Simcha, he says, look, Chad Yom Eshavkoch, one day they're going to leave you. They're going to send you out of heaven. They're going to send you packing. V'shavich parvanka. You know what? They're going to make you a running boy to run in front of the people to be some type of a scout. The Chassidic says the pasuk in Yeshaya, ki v'simcha seitzeyu, because with simcha they'll go out. In other words, he's going to show the way. He'll have to go through the waters. He's going to have to scout out the road first. That's what you're going to be. You're going to be a scout boy. So Amalei Simcha l'Sassen. So Simcha responded to Sassen. He says, look, chad yem eshav koch. One day they're going to send you out. Umalo bochmaya, and they're going to use you to fill up water. The chesiv like says in pasuk, usha after mayim besasin. That's where the pasuk comes in, that they'll draw water with sasin. You're going to be the thing they use to draw water with. A related story, the Gemara says, Amalei hu mina deshmei sasin rebavo. There was this heretic that his name was Sasin who said to rebavo, asidisu de tamalu li mayim la'amad asid. In the future, what's going to happen is that you the Jewish people, you're going to fill up water to serve me. Like it says in the pasuk, "Ushav to mayim besasin." You're going to draw water for sasin. Amalei Simcha responded to him. He says, "Wait, I have a ksiv l'sasin k'digamer. If it would have said to sasin, then you'd be right. But hashad the ksiv besasin. Now it says with sasin. What that means is Mashchid ehu gavra, the skin of that person, in other words, a reference to Sasan, mashvini le goyda, they're going to make a flask out of his skin, meaning your skin, umalina be mayin, they're going to fill up water with it, so don't be all proud that we're filling up water for you in the future, but they're actually going to use your skin to make flasks out of it, usha after mayin, you're going to draw water, bis Sasan, with the skin of Sasan. Merkatin is explaining our Mishnah that said that all of Akevesh, Ufan, Lesmaili, so the kohen would go up the ramp, go to his left, and that's where they would do the libations. So Gemara brings a related brisa. Tarabon, kol ha'olim lemizbeach. All those who would go up to the mizbeach, olim derech yamin. They would go up to their right, and that is when they would go up to the top of the mizbeach. So the first thing you would turn to was on the right was the southeastern corner, which is to the right of the one who's coming up. And the reason is because you come up on the southern part of the mizbeach. That's where the ramp is. Now it's learned up from Pesukim in the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Samach Beis and Beis. Now, umakif in the yard in derech smol. So when you would come up, you go to your right, as the Gemara learns, kolpina shatapina layidel chermin. All the turns are made towards the right. Now, one comes around if he wants to come down towards his left. In other words, when he's coming to come down, he doesn't go backwards, taking steps back on his heels. Rather, he goes around the entire mizbeach until he comes back to the ramp, which has him coming back towards the western part of the ramp, which is to the left of the one who would come up. Now, the reason why one doesn't just go back on his heels is because that would essentially be going back to one's left, because you always have to keep your face to the mizbeach, because you can't turn your neck, your back of your head, towards the mizbeach. It's disrespectful. Now, the Torah tells us, as we said before, that kolpina shatapina, every turn that you make has to be towards the right. As Rami Bar Yecheskel learns out in the Gemara Zvachim over there in Samach Beis and Beis, where it talks about a pasuk of Shnayim Asabakar. So therefore, essentially what right is, it's really counterclockwise, because you have to go around to your right, and continuing along your right takes you all the way really to the left, but that's really to the right. But if one were to go backward, that would really be to his left, and therefore, one doesn't go back. If he wants to go down, he has to go all the way around. Chutz min ha'oil l'shleish ha'dvarim halal, except for someone that goes up to the top of his mizbeach for the following three things, which are done on the southwestern corner of the mizbeach. Sha'ilin derech smol, we're there, the person goes up to his left, and when he goes to the top of his mizbeach, he goes to the southwestern corner. Now, he doesn't go to the right, which would require him, if he wanted to get to the corner he wanted to go all the way around. Now, the Gemara in Shechitas Kadshim over there in Zvachim, Daf Samach Dal, Amanaf explains the reason. It says, because the three items, two of them are Nesachim. Nesachim libations, they might get smoky, because there's a lot of smoke there on top of Mizbeach by the smoke of the Maracha, where they'd be burning all the sacrificial parts of Mizbeach. So by the time you get around, which if one measures the measurements to get around, it's more than 100 amma in the circumference and the perimeter of the Mizbeach. So that we're concerned about getting ruined, so you go straight to the left corner. And so to the Eilas Ha'ayv, it might die from the smoke till you get all the way around. And also V'chayz Na'ala Ekev. These individuals also that go up to the left, they also go back on their heel, which means that they don't have to go all the way around clockwise to come back down. Because as much as we can do less of going towards one left, which again means clockwise, so then we want to do that as little as possible. So though he started off going to his left, but we don't want him to go all the way around that way, and rather he comes back on his heels. Ve'elohen, and these three that go up to the left, and they don't even go around all the way clockwise, they just come back, are nisach ha'mayim, the pouring of the water libations which are done on Sukkos, v'nisach ha'yayin, the pouring of the wine libations which are done by every carbon, v'oila so'ev kisharabs b'mizrach, and the carbon of the oila bird when there's too many being done on the eastern. In other words, the actual place of where the oila so'ev was done was on the southeastern corner. Now the reason why it was done by that corner is because that's the closest to the Beis Hadeshin, where the ashes were placed, which they would throw over there. Also, the parts of the Eilas Ha'ayif of Meirah and Noitza, the different parts they would take off. As the Pasuk says, Mikra Aleph, the Hishlach Eitzel HaMizbeach, it was thrown there near the Mizbeach, and the Beis Hadeshin was near the ramp, which was by the eastern part, three Tfachim away, which was 20 Amis away from the Mizbeach itself. As the Mishnah teaches, Masech Tistamid by the one who would do Trumas Hadeshin. Now, the Eilas Ha'ayif, when there were too many being, when there wasn't enough room on the eastern part, because there were many Kohanim that were doing the Malik over there, so then the Kohanim would then come to the southwestern corner, those who couldn't stand over there, and therefore these three would do it, they would go straight to the left, which was unlike when it always was that you have to get somewhere, you would go up to the right, and you would go all the way around to where you have to get to. Here, as the Gemara Zavachim explained, we're concerned that the items might get ruined, so they go straight up, and then we come straight back because we don't want to do more left than we have to, which would be going clockwise. Now, the Gemara continues quoting from a Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda said that he argued it wasn't made out of silver. He says actually it was made out of lime, but the combination of the chemicals of the lime with the wine would make it black, and El Shahi Mashkirin, it just made it black, which looked like silver. So the Gemara asks, wait, Bishlam Diyain Mashkir. So we understand, as he said, because the wine makes it black, and therefore that one is going to look like silver. However, Demaya May Mashkir, why was the water one? There were two different Safalim. So we understand the wine one was black looking like silver. Why did it the water one? Water is not going to make lime look become blackened. So I think when it says Kivin of Amarasins, as we mentioned in the Mishnah, that Irishal Maim Tekshayayin, if the one of water was poured into the wine one, over Shalyayin Tekshayayim, or the wine was poured into the water one, Yotze has fulfilled it. So Shamayim Aslashkuri, ultimately the water one is also going to get blackened because sometimes it was mixed up because it wasn't something that was Ma'akib, so therefore that could have happened. And therefore, since that has happened, so the wine one would even affect, the wine would even affect the water one because the wine would sometimes be poured there and then it would make it black too. Now the Mishnah told us when the Kavan came in Beis Chutman Bechulo that they had the holes in the Safalim which looked like two nostrils, each one having one hole, one nose, so to speak, with a hole inside of that. So each one had one, and one was thick and one was thin. So Gemara wants to say that Lay must neaten. Let's say that our Mishnah that says that we need one of them to have a wider hole and one to have a thinner hole is Rabbi Yehuda, is going like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that he said that the nesachim of the water that was done on Sukkot was only a loig, which, as it says by the Niskei Tamid, that the wine was a revius ahin, which that's three lugin, because a hin is 12 lug. So it comes out that a revius ahin is three lugin. That's how much the wine nesachim were, versus the water one was only one loig. And therefore, it sounds like that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo Rabban, not like Rabbanan. It's not like we learned in our Mishnah. Pehuda Aimi says, b'loig hoyu v'nasach kol shmeina. The Nisach HaMayim was not like the Rabbanan, that it was three leg, and it was only one leg. The Rabbanan ki adadi ninu. If our Mishnah is like the Rabbanan, so why was there one wider hole, one thinner hole, if they're both the same amount? According to Pehuda, we understand that discrepancy. We want one wider hole for the one that has three times the amount of liquid. One has three leg and one has one. And the other one should have a smaller one. But according to Rabbanan, that they're both the same amount. Why was there one wider and one narrower? So I think Moshe says, no, Phil Tim Rabban, you could say that actually our Mishnah is like Rabbanan. Chamer Samach. Wine is thicker consistency. Maya Kalish. But water is thinner and therefore it goes out quicker. And that's why you needed a smaller hole. And actually the Gemara says, Hachanam Estar. It actually makes sense to say that our Mishnah is Rabbanan. The Rabbi Yehuda, because our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Racha Bekatzer Islay. He needs to have the term of wide and narrow. And the reason is because we find elsewhere where when Rabbi Yehuda describes the discrepancy of these two nostrils of these baskets, he uses the terms of echad rachav and echad katzer. Now, not with the terms that our Mishnah uses of mu'uva and dak, of thick and thin, which the difference of rachav on katzer sounds like that it's more than what mu'uva is on medak. And that makes sense because Rabbi Yehuda's opinion would be that obviously he understands the consistency of water and wine, and added to that is that he holds that there was three legin of wine and only one leg of water, so his discrepancy is going to be greater than the term used in our Mishnah, which is like the Rabbanan, because as we find the time, like we learned in the Breiser, the way he describes it, is shnei kasvois hayusham, there were these two baskets, echad shel mayim, one of water, ve'echad shel yayin, and one of wine. Now shel yayin pi arachiv. He used the term of rachiv, the one of wine was wide. Shamayim, piyakatsa, the one of water was narrow. Kadeshiyush, name, kol mevasacha, so that they both should conclude at the same time. So shmamina, actually, we can infer that not only is the Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, it's indicative that it's like the Rabbanan, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, he uses different terminology, and the reason is because he has two things working for the wine, and that is the wine has both more amount and it's thicker, so that really needs a wide thing, so that it could conclude the same time as water, which is only one leg and it's not as viscous, it's not as thick as the wine, and therefore he has racha mekatzer. But our Mishnah is not such a big difference because they have the same amounts, it's just one's thicker, one's thinner, and that's why I use the term of av and dak. Now the Mishnah continued by saying, there were these two buckets. One was for wine, one was for water. Now then the Mishnah continued in telling us that regarding the tzedukim, that they didn't care or they didn't hold in the halacha. Therefore we would tell them, let's see where your hands are so we can see what you're doing, because of there was a time that once he poured on his foot. So talking about the Braisa that elaborates on this, that Maisa b'tzeduki yechad, there was an incident with a tzeduki, shenisach gabei raglav, that he poured on his feet, v'rigmu kol ha'am b'esroigein, and as our Mishnah said, that they pelted him with their esroigein. Now, v'oisa ha'yeim nifke makarin ha'mizbech. Now that day, the corners of the mizbech got dented because they were throwing rocks at him for desecrating the halachas. V'heviyu boil, and they brought a fistful shel melach of salt, v'stamu, and they filled up the holes of the mizbech with the salt. Now, the Braisa tells us, not because that way now the Avodah could be done, in other words, that the Mizbech should be kosher to do Avodah because they complete it with the salt, that's actually not going to make it kosher. It just shouldn't seem like the Mizbech is dented because of the honor of the Mizbech. It just doesn't seem appropriate for it to have those dents. And the reason is, as the Mishnah, as the Gemara continues in Memtes Amud Aleph, that the reason why it's said that it's not kosher l'Avodah, the fact that it was dented and they just wanted it to look complete, but actually the avodah wasn't kosher anymore, because shekol mizbech she'en lo, any mizbech that doesn't have one of these following criteria is not a kosher mizbech. One is loy kevesh, if it doesn't have a ramp, it's not kosher. But like Karen, if it doesn't have a corner, which was there was a stone of an amma squared by an amma height by every corner, veloy yisoid, and if it didn't have the foundational, which is there's an amma at the structure of the mizbech was made with many different blocks of what it was made out of, and the bottom one has indentation of an amma, which is called the yisayid. Valeri B, or if it doesn't have that it's perfectly squared, if it's missing one of these things, pasul avayda, then the mizbeach is going to be invalid to do the avayda. Now, the reason Rav Huna explains in Pesach Tzvachim Nav Samach Bezim and Aleph is because wherever it says the term ha-mizbeach, the mizbeach, it's saying that it's ma'akim the avayda if it's missing that thing, which that's what it sounds like, ha-mizbeach, that this is the mizbeach, how it should be done, which all these terms have hamizbech. It says al kronis hamizbech be'etzba'acha by the miluim. It says by the kevesh. It says el pinei hamizbech, and the ramp is called the ponim. It's the face of the mizbech where one comes up. That's where one enters to the mizbech. The yisayid, it says el yisayid hamizbech by ribua, that it should be squared. It says revuyi hamizbech, and that's how we know that if one's missing one of these things, which was nifkema hakaren over there, that the mizbech was pasul. Basically, Hudaim, he adds, he says, Afa Saiv, he says, even if it's missing the Saiviv, which is the other ledge that there is going up to the height of the top of the Mizbeach, which the Yisayid is one thing that's protruding in Amma, then you have another one that's higher up, a midway point, partly, that's called the Saiviv, where they would go around on. That's because Rabbi Huda holds when the Pasuk talks about what's called Karkoiv HaMizbeach, where it says HaMizbeach, that's a reference to the Saiviv. And therefore, since it says HaMizbech, he holds that's Me'akiv too. But the Rabban actually hold that the term Karkoiv, which is not clear what that means, they hold it means it's a reference to the Kir. As the Gemara explains over the Masech Tzvachim, therefore they hold that the Saiviv is not Me'akiv. So you don't have a Saiviv, it's not going to invalidate the Avodah. But again, Rabbi Huda holds that that term of Karkoiv is a reference to the Saiviv, and therefore he holds that's also Me'akiv. And again, that's why, although they filled it up with salt, that was just that it should look okay. But really, the Avodah was possible to be done, because if it's missing one of these things of the Karen or the Rivua, the Mizbeach is not kosher for Avodah.